So we decided to do this qualitative study, ADHD on the red carpet, determining goals and skills of African-American parents and the management of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. We did this as a way to have an overall goal in developing a treatment plan that is culturally sensitive and tailored to meet the needs of our families. So this is some of our preliminary data that we're sharing with you on today. I have no financial interest to disclose at this time. So, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is a neurodevelopmental disorder characterized by hyperactivity, impulsivity, and inattention. Symptoms are persistent, meaning that they're ongoing. They're pervasive, meaning that they affect multiple areas of the child's life. Symptoms are also impairing, meaning that they can impede upon the child's daily functioning. So one example of that is that, say for example, you have a 10-year-old child, for those of you who don't know what ADHD is, and that child has an intellectual disability. That child would essentially be thinking and reasoning as a young child, so the attention span would be also be expected to be that of a younger child as well. Although many studies have varied and it's a lot of inconsistent data that we came across, recent studies estimated that ADHD affects about 8 to 10% of U.S. children. And large population-based studies using the DSM-4 criteria, there were no significant differences in rates of ADHD between African-American and white children. So what this means is that in studies in which parents were called and asked not about the diagnosis of ADHD, but rather about the presence of symptoms of ADHD, there was no significant difference in the rates of African-American children when compared to the rates of white children. So in addition to substantial social morbidity, individuals with ADHD are at increased risk of impairment in school performance, intellectual functioning, driving, and occupational functioning as well. So this can really come into the terms of that the individual can have problems with problem solving as well as job performance, getting to work on time, completing work tasks, as well as job retention in some cases. In case many of you all didn't know, ADHD is not diagnosed by blood tests. That's a little humor for you all can laugh. But rather, ADHD is diagnosed by a clinician based on information obtained from parents, guardians, teachers, and other professionals involved. This is necessary for children to evaluate the child's This is necessary for the clinician to evaluate the child's behavior and determine if it is inconsistent or consistent in multiple settings of the child's environment. Today, instruments such as SNAP, Connors, ADHD self-rating scales, Vanderbilt Behavior Survey, these are all examples of different instruments that are used to diagnose ADHD by clinicians in primary care settings. African-American children diagnosed with ADHD are less likely to initiate stimulant medications compared to white children. They are more likely to use comparatively fewer ADHD-related medications, and they're more likely to have public health, meaning Medicaid, insurance, thus more likely to be negatively impacted by disparities in access to care by insurance type. So, not to mention that having Medicaid would most likely mean having a longer waiting time, having a longer time to get prescriptions refilled, and longer time to even get in to see doctors for this particular behavior challenge. Previous studies have highlighted key barriers in the treatment of ADHD in African-American children. These barriers consist of system-level barriers, which refers to the fragmentation of medical services like developmental, speech, occupational, poor linkages to educational services like IEP, as well as 504 plans. Also, the access to care, absence of behavioral treatment modalities due to the existing disparities that affect access to comprehensive care. as well as a lack of standard evaluative processes in schools. Also, facilities are not always equipped to appropriately diagnose ADHD. Other barriers that exist are those of individual level, which consists of mistrust of the diagnosis, belief that the treatment could not help. But perhaps another possibility is that current treatment options are not desirable to many African American families. Maybe African American families simply feel that we just don't have what they need in the system to meet their needs of their behavioral challenges for their children. So with our study, this was towards making a step to reach our overall goal, which is to use the strengths-based approach to develop a treatment plan that would be more desirable to families that is culturally sensitive to their needs. So we wanted to employ a qualitative inquiry to capitalize on African Americans' families' knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs to enhance ADHD management. African-American parents were recruited from a variety of clinical and non-clinical settings, including pediatric and child psychiatry clinics, churches, and community organizations. During that recruitment methodology, we were able to post different flyers, and we were able to get in contact with participants that were interested in participating in our research study. 4 90-minute focus groups were conducted to identify African-American parents' ADHD management beliefs. A clinical vignette was used to discuss parents' knowledge of ADHD topics and barriers to mental health services. Data generated by these focus groups were analyzed using content analysis. During our focus group setting, we passed out a clinical vignette to our participants. The clinical vignette is a story of a little boy named Johnny. Johnny is an 8-year-old African-American boy with challenges at school and home. At school, he's easily distracted. The teacher often has to repeat the instructions, and he talks too much and often talks out of turn. At home, Johnny has trouble with his homework. He often forgets what he has learned. His family must repeat instructions to get him to bathe, brush his teeth, and even get dressed. Johnny experiences a trigger incident. When Johnny's principal called home, Johnny received an in-school suspension for hitting another student. This here represents the trigger incident that prompts the family to bring him into the doctor's office for evaluation and try to figure out why Johnny is having these challenges. After hearing the vignette, the parents in our focus groups were then asked a series of questions such as, how should the family respond to the problem Johnny is having at school? What sort of help should the family be looking for to change Johnny's behavior? As well as what type of signs should the family look for to know that Johnny is indeed getting better? Adults participated in our 4 focus groups. There were no children in attendance, therefore the parents reported a total of having 20 children that were diagnosed with ADHD. The children's ages ranged between 7 to 18. This slide represents the conceptualization of focus groups, categories and subcategories in which we identified during this evaluation. The majority of our participants were mothers, and the dynamics of the relationship between mother and child, the mother reported many challenges and frustrations, but they had to go through a process of patience and acceptance to initiate action steps for the child, such as advocating for the child by working closely with physicians and working closely with schools, as well as protecting the child by managing the family relationships. Also, building social support by parent-to-parent interactions as well as counseling. Some of the results reveal many things. Some particular things in which we identified was that parents reported challenges and frustrations, such as not understanding or knowing how to respond to child's behavior, helping the child to complete daily routines at home, frequent complaints from school and family members, even feelings of isolation and embarrassment and perceived stigma. Some illustrative quotes in which parents reported were, "So trust me, it takes a lot out of a parent and a lot of energy. And trust me, it be days you cry. I'm not gonna tell you that because it do." Another parent reported, "Because almost everywhere you go, people tell you there's nothing wrong with her. It takes something dangerous to happen to say, oh, there's something wrong with her." Patience and acceptance was another thematic theme in which we identify. Recognition of acceptance as a pivotal point in initiating action to help the child. One parent said, "We probably don't want to accept it as like, my baby has a disorder and she's, you know, mentally challenged. But if you can't accept it, you can't help them." Also, recognition of the need for patience with the child. I remember another parent said, "We don't know what it's like to be them. We don't know what they go through every day or how they feel." Other things we identified was the skills and strategies. Parents advocated for the child in numerous settings, most notably within the school and within the child's physician. Therefore, on the other hand, after we saw the challenges, we wanted to see, what did the parents have to bring to the table? This is really what we were trying to focus on in our focus study. We wanted to see what were their strengths. The strengths that we were able to identify was working with physicians, working closely with the school. And we were constantly seeing a doctor, so in that sense, it was really a good thing. I think that if I would have just said, "No, I'm really strong about this. I don't want to do this. I don't want the medication. I don't think this year would be any better for her, but it is a great year for her." So that was a good thing. That was when I really fired up parents that said that. Also, another parent reported, "The teacher and the parent is combined with the child, so she is our daughter." Other strengths that we identified was that parents protected the child by managing the complex relationships between themselves and the affected child with immediate and extended family. One parent said, "Get family members that the kids trust. Everybody you can't leave your kids with. Everybody doesn't have the patience. I found that out the hard way. Everybody doesn't have the patience. Everybody doesn't really care." In a sense, parents felt that they were a buffer for their child. In this example, the parent felt that they had protected their child by limiting the contact their child had with other family members. Parents build systems of social support. Focus groups appear to serve as a proxy for group counseling and structured parent-to-parent discussions. One parent said, "I found out I'm not alone. And talking to other parents just like me gives me some ideas about what to do about a couple of my kids." Another parent said, "Counseling helped me, my child, and my marriage. Everyone needs to go to therapy." African American parents express challenges and frustrations in caring for their children with ADHD. Healthcare professionals can play a role in minimizing parental frustrations by addressing parents' initial concerns about behavior, educating parents and increasing public awareness about ADHD, advocating for more structured social support for families of children with ADHD. African American parents demonstrated several skills and strategies. The parents were advocates. They communicated regularly with doctors and educators and participated in the management of their children with ADHD. Parents were protectors, managing complex family relationships. Parents built systems of social support, recognizing that their own feelings and emotional well-being may affect their success as parents. Thank you.